Turn your tax refund into a new bathroom at Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Upgrade your bathroom with Max. With more than 1,000 showers, bathtubs, and surrounds, you're sure to find exactly what you need to add luxury and style to your bathroom. Save big on our entire selection of Max bathroom products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Fresh off a fantastic lunch at Cowboys and Indians, it's Nick, Barry, and Joel, the usual suspects, present and accounted for, as we get you rolling on a Wayback Wednesday. If you missed it at the end of yesterday's show, Wayback Wednesday today, each one of us supplying songs that have our name somewhere in the making, whether it be in the song title, the artist, or in Barry's case, the producer.
Nope, I didn't do that today. I thought about doing Berry Gordy because that would have been easy. I could have just done Motown hits for an hour. But I decided to challenge myself. And I'm happy to report I was able to get through my list without having to use stupid-ass Barry Manilow.
Yeah, you were debating
I'm very
that.
Proud of that.
Nick, how long did you take? Never mind. We'll get to Nick in hour number three. when he creates his list in hour number two.
Now, all eight of your songs are Billy Joel, right?
Not no? true. No. But five of them are.
Really? Yep. You did five?
Yep. I told you I'm a big Billy Joel fan, so I can do that.
All right. I like it. I like it.
So we've got Wayback Wednesday, and you know the criteria now. We've got our bellies full of Cowboys and Indians, which was fantastic. Haas, once again, treated us right. Great food, as always.
Yeah.
So that was fantastic.
Shout out to Seraphim for showing up, too, listener, who he tweeted a picture of us, and I retweeted the picture, and I should not have. I look so fat in that picture.
Oh,
I've got to learn, like, I'm wearing all black. How, like, all black is supposed to be slimming. How do I look fatter in black than I, because I don't think I'm that fat, but I look fat. You know what I mean? I need to start learning what these gals do on Instagram because there's tricks that you can do where you turn your hips a certain way or you do your arms. Yeah, I need to learn that because every picture I take, I do the same thing. All right, I do one hand in the back pocket, one hand around the person usually. That's in his back pocket. Okay. I was grabbing his butt. No, this time I went just kind of like a around the body bro hug thing. But usually, after shows. Mm-hmm. If people want to take pictures with me, I do like one hand in the back pocket and then the other one out, or maybe I'll point at the person I'm taking a picture with. I don't never know what to do with the hands, but I always am at the wrong angle and I look fatter than I am. And you know me, I'll own my fatness, but I don't feel like I look as fat as I do in that picture. And I may be wrong.
You know, the camera adds weight.
Yeah.
Speaking of bro hugs, though, it looks like you
You
had an interesting experience last night, which I was extremely happy to hear
about. We weren't done talking about Seraphim, and I just, you just had to get, by the way, he's over there at Merlin Roofing. I'm going to get him out there to check out my roof.
I saw his truck out.
Yeah. I had a lady in the neighborhood that was going to come by and look. You can't count on nobody's days, so Seraphim's going to come save the day. Okay, he's going to come check it out. So, yeah, and shout out to Haas. I'm happy to report that if you want to eat healthy at Cowboys and Indians,
right there too.
That is an option. Like you guys had, you did your non-quesadillas, right? Nick got the wings. Which ones did you get?
The honey sriracha wings.
Oh, they're so good.
They're great.
I
think I inhaled them in like 5 minutes.
I'm glad I ate healthy because of the picture we took afterwards where I looked fat. I feel like I just wasted my time eating healthy, but I had the grilled chicken with the basmati rice and the green beans. Green beans were ridiculously good.
You wasted it.
I really did. Yeah. I really did.
There's no question.
But, yeah, so that was cool. Okay, yeah, let's get to the...
I want to get to the bro.
I know.
Because we got a text last night, and actually it was like my phone was sitting in front of me watching the game, and it was like text, beep, beep. And I'm like, wait, all these... And it was all centered around the fact that listeners are not only loyal, but they listen. And
yeah.
They listen well, Jazz.
So last night I was at the Boys and Girls Harbor charity auction and fantasy draft, which I want to just say, first of all, what a well-run evening it was. And such a good cause, too. You know what I mean? Like, this is an organization that takes kids from homes that are less than desirable and gives them an opportunity in life. And they even had people there that had gone through the program that talked. And it was a pair of brothers, and they talked about the fact that, man, we wouldn't be where we are if it wasn't for the Boys and Girls Harbor. So shout out to them for doing great things in the community. And if you can donate or you have the opportunity, do so. They raised a lot of money. Randy McElvoy was the MC last night. Like I said, really cool event. Some ex-Oilers and football coach Ed Biles was in the house, old Oilers coach.
You got that right.
Back in the day.
Yeah. Ed's about 106 right now.
Kenny Houston was there, yeah. Which was great. It was a really cool event. And part of the event, though, is a fantasy draft. And I couldn't, there was a mix up in time. So I just couldn't sit for the whole thing. I couldn't stay for the whole thing. But before I left, I was walking around trying to get some, you know, to talk to some of the different football players, maybe grab some audio for the station. And out of nowhere, this dude just goes, "Hey, man, are you Barry Laminack?" I was like, "Yeah." And he walks up and he puts his arms around me and he hugs me so tight, like awkwardly tight hug. And all I could do was laugh. And he just steps back and he goes, "I've been wanting to do that since they brought it up. They've been encouraging us to hug you. I've been wanting to do that." So shout out to Jazz for funniest thing that happened to me in a week, at least, because out of nowhere, Jazz is a bigger dude. You know what I mean? Like, he's not Charlie Polillo. I wouldn't just cough and he would fall off of me.
You got to be a bigger dude with a name like Jazz.
Yeah. And when I first met him, and he's black, and when I first met him, he was like, "My name's Chaz." And I was like, "There's no way there's a black dude named Chaz. That's not possible." He was like, "No, Jazz." I was like, "All right, that's cool. I get that. But Jazz was so cool, man. He was like, he just walked up and just started hugging me. Hilarious. So whatever you guys are doing and trying to make it sink in with people, it's working, and I'd appreciate it if you'd stop it. I have grown-ass men who I don't know.
Let's continue the campaign.
Now, see, here's what's going to happen.
Because you requested a variation of the hug at Cowboys and Indians.
No.
So going further.
And
what was it?
You
said
thing, Nick,
grab
I didn't know
the what?
If you wanted to keep going
no.
with it, because he keeps saying "you guys," and I was the one that instigated it from the get-go, the hug.
But I was going to do it anyway. Yeah. I was gonna jump on board
but
regardless.
But Nick brings up an interesting point. At lunch today, you brought up the fact that the only thing missing from the long embrace was almost a casual kind of a glancing blow to the groin.
No, I didn't
when they
bring
were
that up.
Releasing you in
Listen,
the hug.
You're going to get me in some fights, because I tell you right now, if there's listeners out there that touch my man area, we're fighting. I don't care if their name's Jazz or not. Jazz was cool. Jazz did it the right way. He made it funny and I just have a feeling that there are guys out there that would make it creepy, and I don't need that.
That'd be
if
hilarious.
You want to make it funny,
you
that's
love
one
the
thing.
Hug. So if
no,
you're going to be at Hyenas in
you.
Dallas this weekend or anywhere that Barry's performing,
don't
make
hug
sure
me.
When he gets
Hyenas.
Out of the lobby,
Hyenas
just give
is
him
the spot
hug.
Out in Dallas.
Don't hug me.
Just a long sensual
he did it.
Hug.
He did it, but he like the grip. It was tight. It was very tight.
That's what it's supposed to be.
It was an emotional hug. That yeah, we.
He's
it was
an affectionate dude. A quick peck on the neck wouldn't hurt either.
Oh my God. No, well, I mean, if the chicks want to do it, that's one thing.
Let's be honest. A lot of the guys, what they like to do that Barry prefers is so that it feels almost unrehearsed. The long hug and then an exhale, like a really
in my ear.
Solid exhale towards the neck and ear area so it gets both. That's okay.
No. And don't make eye contact with me afterwards either. Please.
That'd
just don't
so
look me
hilarious.
In the eyes. But he did it right. He hugged, and then he was like, "Dude, I love the show. Big, you know, big, I listen all the time. I just had to do that." That's how you do it. Don't make it awkward and creepy.
Yeah,
you know
I mean,
what I mean,
you can make it a little awkward for like a half
no!
a second and then move on. Yeah,
no, I don't.
It wasn't awkward even a little bit for with you and with
it
you
was.
And Jazz.
I knew as soon as he did it, I knew what he was doing, and he did it the right way to make it funny. You know what I mean? Like he didn't go like It was a hug from like the chest up. You know what I mean? Like
he like an ass out hug.
Yeah, it was like he didn't bring it in and press his stuff up against me and things like that, which would have really ruined it. That's
when the nut knock does come in handy.
Yeah, if I can feel your junk, you've taken this joke too far, and now I want to fight you. You know what I mean? Like don't press your stuff on me. That's all I'm asking.
You use Barry's thigh as a nightstand? It's not a good idea.
Press up when you're pressing up on the glass on me. I don't need that. I don't need that at all. That was a callback from yesterday. Go listen to the podcast.
Yes.
You know
all
what
right, so we've got a busy show for you today, and we always like when you participate and become one of the usual suspects. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us up on Twitter like Letts just did on Twitter, where he said that the three of us have the best radio show in Houston, and I listen to all four major stations.
I think he means me, but I get it. Your face
you know,
is so good.
Nick, there's look. No I in team, but there is an M and an E, and it's right to my right.
Oh, did you see his face?
I did.
Did you see his? It makes it so worth it when he just out of no. Like, I would think you would expect this from me by now.
James Kiemeister said, what about a little ass grab on Barry is funny? Absolutely something that he prefers. He likes a cup instead of a grab. If you can cup a cheek instead of just the grab, it doesn't make it sexual. Therefore, Barry likes the long hug and a short cut.
I mean, if you're feeling like a fight, go ahead.
Well, they've seen the picture. You look like you could be a bruiser.
Oh, listen. Did you see the picture?
Joel
looks like the fat kid on kickball that they're like, fine, get in the team photo. He's like, all right, he's leaning in on the side.
Yeah, you know what I mean? He looked like he didn't want to get too close to me for whatever reason. I don't know what I thought we were.
You know,
me fat, but who's got the biggest breast in that shot? Go ahead. Go ahead. Point it out.
I bench press.
Nipples all hard.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. I'm cutting glass with him. All right, so if you want to join in, you can hit us on Twitter at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick. At Pac-Man Joel with a K. Of course, you can always call and text, as I said. We'll be back with a whole lot more. Usual Suspects just getting started right here on ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hi-oh! The Usual Suspects back for 3 hours of your time as you continue to hit the road and we hit the airwaves. Usual Suspects going 1 to 4 with you to try and entertain you through your afternoon. And as part of the deal, we always try to give back to you, the listeners, and those suspects that are usual. Therefore, whether you are aware of it or not, Oktoberfest Houston is right around the corner. And we want you to have the opportunity to win 2 tickets to Oktoberfest Houston. It's a showcase of the best in German and Texas culture. It's craft beer. It's music. Oh, I mean, it's the most festive day of the year. You can grab your Lederhosen and your dirndls to taste a variety of German and local craft beer while you listen to the best polka music in Texas at the Waterworks at Buffalo Bayou Park, September 30th. General admission starts at just $25, but we're going to give you a chance to win 2 tickets right now. Caller number 5-713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Caller number 5, 2 tickets, Oktoberfest Houston. And if you don't win, you can get your tickets and purchase them at eventbrite.com. Search for Oktoberfest with a K. There you go. Congratulations, Mr. Jose Altuve. It's a day game today. Verlander on the hill. Astros already on the board. And as part of the scoring in the first inning, Jose Altuve, 4th straight season, 200 hits with a single. Fantastic.
How about that ass whooping they put on the Rangers last
loved
night?
Loved every minute of it.
I tweeted out that I would have loved to have seen them score 3 touchdowns, but I'll take 2.
We had Craig and a lot of people that are suspects of the show at the game. Someone should have had a sign that alluded to the fact that, hey, Rangers fans, this series is so meaningful and this is so important that you guys kept this series in September. Congratulations on allowing the Astros to eliminate you on your home field.
Right.
Because remember, when Harvey hit, we can't give our season ticket holders only a little more than 24 hours notice that we're going to flip-flop the two series. Therefore, you got to go play in Tampa Bay. Plus, that series in September, it could mean something.
Did you see how few people?
Yeah.
Like, and most of them were wearing orange. It was really empty. It was real empty, which made me happy.
Me too. Did you watch a lot of the game?
The fact that they put up 14 on them and the fact that they didn't let up until it was dead over. Like, it was, like, they didn't stop until they had 14. And then they started pulling starters. I really enjoyed that.
Well, what I liked, too, was most of the fans that were there were wearing orange, and almost all the Astros fans got a foul ball. And when they did, they spent another batter to a batter and a half gloating to all the Rangers fans as they showed the ball and they, like, did selfie videos of them with the ball. And then the next guy would get it. Look at the guy who got the last one. He had an Astros t-shirt on. They were rubbing it in, and I loved every single minute of it because no one deserves it more than the fans of, quote-unquote, Arlington.
Yeah.
And the Arlington Rangers.
Yep, made me happy. Officially eliminating the Rangers from postseason play, which makes it even sweeter. They do it all without Jose Altuve in the lineup. And then, like you said, he comes in this day game right out of the bat, gets hit number 200. Beautiful thing, man. It's a beautiful thing to see this team get the monkey off the back against the Rangers heading into the postseason. I like everything that's going on right now. It's really positive.
I'm going to give you a little which one of these names just doesn't belong, but I'm going to do it in part by giving you some stats just to kind of put a little bit of emphasis on what Jose Altuve has done. Okay?
Okay.
Jose Altuve is the fifth player since World War II with four straight 200-hit seasons. I'm not going to ask you to name the other four.
Oh.
But of the other four, I'm pretty confident you'll be familiar with three of them. And the other one, you'll be like, really?
I know Ichiro is one of them.
He is.
Pete Rose?
No.
No?
Nope. Center fielder Twins, Street in Houston,
Kirkendall.
Close. No.
I don't know.
Kirby Puckett.
Oh, damn. Okay. Tony Gwynn didn't make that list.
Love to eat chicken.
What?
Wade Boggs.
Oh.
Only ate chicken on game days.
Wow. Okay.
Ichiro, Boggs, Puckett, and the one that I would have never guessed, Michael Young.
Ranger second baseman?
Michael Young on that list. I believe you're right. Yes.
Yeah. Rangers second baseman Michael Young.
I got to Google that.
Yeah, I believe that's right. Wow. Yeah, I wouldn't have put him on the list, but I know, you know, back in the day he was a baller. He could play, but I wouldn't have guessed how many years in a row was constitute the list? 4 years in a
Four
row
years
at least?
In a row, yeah.
And Ichiro had something like 9 or 10, right?
Yep.
In a row?
Texas Rangers infielder Michael Young.
Yep. Okay. And Ichiro had 9 or 10 years in a row, which eclipses everybody else's by far, right?
Ichiro might be the greatest hitter in the history of baseball. If he had played his entire career in MLB instead of playing it
But you look at what he did, and I think, I want to say it's 10. It might be 9. I might be off by a year, but I want to say 10 years in a row of 200 hits, which is ridiculous. But yeah, that's good company to keep.
10 years, brother.
Good.
10 years of Ichiro.
I don't know why I know that. That's
tied
weird...
the record with 10 200 hit seasons.
I was probably watching when he tied it. You know what I mean?
The first one to 200 hits in 10 straight years. Unbelievable. That's what I'm saying. You take all the years that he spent out of MLB playing baseball, you put him in Major League Baseball, he might be smashing Pete Rose's record.
Yeah, you're probably right. If you go 10 years in a row with 200 and Pete Rose never did that, you're right. I mean, that's 2,000 hits in 10 years. If he played 15, he's doing 3,000 easily, right?
Yeah, that's pretty impressive stuff.
And that's a minimum of 200 hits, right? Not counting what he did over that.
Plus, like we said, look, this is a day and age where you should really have appreciated the guys that got to 3,000 hits, the guys that got to 300 wins pitching, because it's a new era of baseball where you're not going to see stats like that. But when you look at Ichiro and the numbers he's put up, and he did that after some of his best years behind him not playing Major League Baseball, it's pretty damn impressive.
Yeah.
So
not too shabby. James Feamster had a great point that he was really happy about last night because it was against Hamels, who wouldn't waive a no-trade clause. So that is nice. I did notice that when they showed the pitching matchup and he gave up 6 runs in 3 innings.
And that's the most runs he's given up in quite a while, to, I think, ever in his career against the Astros, too.
Yep. That made me pretty happy. What I didn't like about the game is I look up in the sixth inning, and maybe it was 13 or 12. I don't remember what the score was, but it was a lot. And maybe it was 11-2. I'm not sure. But at that point, five innings have passed, and Keuchel's going back out to the hill with pitch count approaching the 80s.
Yep.
I didn't like that. I think he qualified for the win. You've got the postseason coming. Why risk anything? Why risk him getting injured? It's five innings. He's got the win. The game's over. Pull him out. Correa is in the game still at 11-2. Why is he still in the game? Get him out of there. I didn't
know. Well, Springer right had came out when Altuve got hit late.
That's my point. Springer had come out that inning or the previous inning with Derek Fisher going in the game to replace him. I felt like after it was over, and it was over at 11-2, you got to pull Keuchel, you got to pull Springer, and you got to, you know,
especially
everyone lives to fight another day.
When he qualified for the win, just like they did to McHugh the night before.
Scared.
I know McHugh had thrown a lot of pitches. They wanted him to get through five. Once that's done and you're that up that much, now you can bring in the James Hoyts and the Martezes.
You've got enough in that bullpen to get you four innings to not
blow
the lead.
Don't do it when you blow a lead to the Angels. Because, by the way, the Indians lost last night. It's one game.
It's two games.
It's essentially two games because they have the tiebreaker. But at least it's not dead yet. There is a chance for you to get the best record in the American League.
One more thing, watching the game here, Carlos Beltran's at the plate. Did you see the interview with him last night by Julio Morales?
I did not. Is that about the Puerto Rican?
He's in the tunnel, and they're talking about Puerto Rico, and he gets choked up a couple times and cries, and it was touching. I'm not going to lie. I mean, it got me in the feels for sure. So, I hope he donated $1 million.
He did, right off the top.
Astros owner Jim Crane is giving I think a plane and some other stuff to transport supplies to Puerto Rico. So good to see that. But yeah, if you got some money out there and you donated to JJ Watt's fund to help Harvey, or you've benefited from it, you might consider throwing a few dollars towards Carlos Beltran and his fund to help our fellow American citizens in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, Mark Cuban donated the Mavs plane to J.J. Barea and let him miss the first day of practice, too,
like
so
it.
He could be with his family in Puerto Rico. So, yeah, keep that in mind. Right now, I want to tell you about the good folks at Window World. I've been telling you for a long time now, they make a great product, and it is perfect for you to reduce your energy bills throughout the year. Window World of Houston provides premium quality replacement windows at a great price, and their energy-saving windows are made right here in America, and they carry the Good Housekeeping seal of approval. They're the number one window company in America for a reason. They offer a lifetime warranty, a higher quality product, a low price on the window starting at just $189 plus $45 for solar zone low E, which meets Texas energy regulations. First step to reducing your energy bills, you just call them. You call them, you get a free written estimate. They come to you, they look at your windows, they look at your house, they tell you where they could maybe improve some things, and then they go away. No hassles or high pressure. If you want them to come back after you get the free estimate, just give them a call. They'll come back, do the work, you'll be satisfied. If you're not, you let them know, they'll fix whatever else has to be done, because they want you to be pleased and they want you to be back again and encourage other people to come see the people at Window World. 713-439-1172, windowworldhouston.com. 713-439-1172, windowworldhouston.com. Window World, simply the best for less. Give them a call.
But it didn't take all of my life.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome to Dad Joke Central. As we continue to roll on here on The Usual Suspects, I evidently used one that I wasn't even aware of. People don't like it on text messages, and frankly, I don't care. Justin Verlander has given up a leadoff single for the third consecutive game that he has pitched for the Astros. And guess what? That's a very good sign, because the last two times he did it, he did not give up another hit through the rest of his existence on the pitcher's mound for that game. So the Astros lead 2-0 as Verlander tries to maneuver his way through inning number one in Arlington.
Whoever's texting the show, sending pictures.
What pictures?
They're just sending random pictures. Please, this is for words.
Yeah,
don't send. Texting's, I don't want to download. I'm not downloading
when you see
the
Barry
pictures
in person. Hugging and pictures are acceptable.
Jazz texted the show.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
Way to go, Jazz.
You know what it says?
What?
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Fantastic.
Oh, Jazz, that made my night, dude. That was hilarious.
Jazz's Twitter account should be Huggy Bear.
Nope.
No?
Nope. Somebody said, what about a hug and a blow in the ear? No, I'm good.
No, just an exhale. Because you can get the ear in the neck and you're
fine. Nope.
Then it's not weird, right?
When I meet Barry, I will give him the European alternate cheek kiss. Nope. Me and
on
you
both
will
sides.
Fight.
Yep, both cheeks.
Nope. Please don't encourage that, Joel. I don't want to have to start fighting all the listeners.
I do. Both cheeks, I want to see it.
Serious question, Barry. I don't know what this means. No, I'm not reading that.
There's just... screening live on the air.
I'm not
with
doing
Barry
that.
Laminack.
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. It was about Nick
and
my manhood, but I'm not reading that. I'm not. You can go read it later, Nick.
I'll read it now.
Yeah, okay.
By the way, Altuve, first player with 200 hits in four consecutive seasons since those 10 straight from Ichiro 2001 to 2010. And only two players in Astros history have ever had one 200 hit season.
Easy for you to say.
But let alone four in a row, the only other one, 1998, Craig Biggio.
Yeah, I remember that. I wouldn't have guessed it, but I remember it.
So the Indians lose last night, so that's a good thing. You got Verlander on the hill today, which should be a good thing. You've given him a 2-0 lead. Do we now say that you say there's a chance that they can still catch the Indians?
No.
Still no.
I'm sticking with no.
Okay. I felt better about it after last night. I really did.
You know, this is the thought that I had last night when I looked at, because they put at some point after the game, they put the Astros record and the Indians record and the Red Sox record. Mm-hmm. And all the hype around the Dodgers, all the hype around the Indians, not as much around the Nationals, though I think that might, you know, the country might be sleeping on the Nationals, especially now that they're getting Bryce Harper back. Mm-hmm. But you look at the Dodgers, they've won 101 games. The Astros have won 97, and the Indians have won 98. So those are your three top win teams in Major League Baseball. And I would venture to guess that if you live in Houston, you look at those three teams that I named, and you don't feel good about the Astros. But when you think about it in baseball, because they went through such a bad period lately, right? They're coming out of it now. They're looking much better now going into the playoffs. But there was that month-ish, you know, 6 weeks where it was really bad, where they lost the lead to the Indians. The Indians caught them, and it was just looking bleak, right? Mm-hmm. August, for the most part. August. I feel like maybe we've undervalued what the Astros have done, because you look at all the high praise that the Indians are getting, and rightfully so. And the Astros got a lot of that early, but it seemed to wane. People were dropping them in the power rankings and all that, and, you know, ooh, this team might be in trouble. They're one game behind the Indians for the best record in the American League.
Yeah.
With all the magnificent, you know, baseball that the Indians have played throughout the year, the Astros are one game behind, four games behind the vaunted, oh my God, is this one of the best teams ever, Dodgers. Four games in a season of 162, there's four games that separates them and the Dodgers. I feel like maybe because of the slump in August and the little dip that they had, we've underappreciated and undervalued what they've done. I think we were on it until they went into that dive, and then it was like, well, there it goes. That's typical. All that for nothing. That's Houston sports. They're one game behind the Indians behind the Dodgers.
And we've said all along, the season is a grind. It's a roller coaster, and the Dodgers' downward skid that no one saw coming came and hung around for a while and brought them back to reality. Again, it took a streak of monumental proportions by the Indians to get back into a position to catch the Astros and go up by a game as we sit right now. But the consistency that this team has shown, the chance that they could win 50 road games is ridiculous. Out of 81 road games, mm-hmm. You could win 50 of them. That is sick. That is fantastic.
Yeah.
And I said, as much as we both said, it's pretty much over to catch best record in the American League and the Indians. But the Indians still play the Twins tonight and tomorrow. The Twins with something to play for and beat them last night. And no Corey Kluber. Salazar tonight. Carrasco, who's been really, really good lately, tomorrow afternoon. But if you can take care of the Rangers and they can, and the Minnesota Twins can do some business in these last two games against the Indians, It gets better, however, while the Astros finish with the Red Sox, Indians finish with the White Sox.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying that's why I don't think they're going to catch them. The White Sox have nothing to play for. They're trotting all their young kids out.
Mm-hmm. And Kluber's going to pitch Saturday night. So
I'd be surprised if it goes longer than 4 or 5 innings.
But he'll pitch.
Yeah, enough to get them a lead and hang on to it. So, yeah, so that's all. So you could count that game as a win. I mean, if they go 2 out of 3, the Astros have to sweep the Red Sox plus win tonight and hope. You know what I mean? I just don't see it happening. There's a chance, sure. I don't know. I'm just, if I were a betting man, I wouldn't be betting.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not going to bet on it. I'm hoping for it. But just with the way the schedule is and how close we are to the end of the season, I mean, I just don't think there's enough time anymore. I wish there was, and I wish I could be more optimistic about it. I'm hopeful, but I'm not expecting it by any means. So I guess some pretty big news we covered yesterday got bigger today as well that we should probably delve into a little bit too. This Louisville situation as it relates to AAU and agents and everything else. I was driving, getting coffee this morning, dropping my daughter off at school, and Mike were talking about on this very station how Rick Pitino, another scandal, which whether you'd want to, he wants to admit it or not, he's deep in. This could be the end of the line for him. And then within the hour, and basically after Tom Jurich, the AD at Louisville said he wasn't going to let Pitino go, they both got canned.
Would you have, if they were like, hey, fire Pitino or you're gone, I've been like, well, you know what? I'm going to miss Pitino.
Yep, no question about it.
I would have totally fired him in a heartbeat. I'm not giving up my job.
Well, especially
but that
since
lets me know that they might have been in it together, or at least he knew about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, look, in terms of the FBI and the investigation, they've said you might as well come forward and admit that you had any kind of a participatory role. Otherwise, be aware of the fact that we have evidence. We have a lot of ongoing things going, including wiretaps and photography and video. You guys will go down. So they can say till they're blue in the face they didn't know. There's probably going to be, and look, there's going to be some guys that are going to squeal to try and save their asses too from going to jail for a longer period of time and go, yeah, my coach knew exactly what was going on. So, yeah, one way or another, I think they're going to have to pay the price, and some people are going to, you know, own up to it, some others. I mean, if you're Tom Jurich, and like you said, you probably would let Pitino go right away. But the other thing is the writing was on the wall less than a week ago when I referenced at lunch today the Mike Riley situation at Nebraska. You know, he's terrible at a school that just absolutely demands excellence in football at Nebraska. They're 1-2. They lost to some schools they should have beat. And yet the athletic director gave him an extension. Then he came out after the game and said, yeah, but I'm still not, but I'm not happy with the performance of late, but I still stand by the extension. Well, guess what? If we can't fire the coach, then we're just going to fire your ass instead. Yeah. He was gone the next day.
Yeah.
And so, you know, someone's got to go and pay the price for this. It seems like a lot of people have been named and more are coming. But yeah, both those guys out at Louisville. And now the question, because of the fact that I believe it's between 60 and 70% of the revenue for University of Louisville athletics comes from basketball, and that program has been upper echelon, who replaces Pitino to try and at least keep them relevant on the basketball landscape?
That's a good question. And I think the other thing that I'm curious about is, like you said, this is an ongoing investigation, and there's going to be more. What's the fallout going to be, right, as we progress for Louisville, sanctions and otherwise? And I'm curious, Haas asked this question at Cowboys and Indians today. Mm-hmm. He said, is Pitino going to be able to get a job somewhere? And I don't think so.
I don't either.
I think this is one of those death sentence type of things. Like, he's been untouchable up until now. He's managed to avoid whether it be through, well, I didn't know, you know, I mean, he's played the I didn't know defense, even though he's in charge. He's the CEO of that
or
basketball.
The Shaggy, it wasn't me.
Yep. And that all is fine and good, but this is it. This is the death nail. And I don't think he bounces back. I don't think there's a program in this country that wants to touch Pitino.
No, I don't think. I think
It's not the
Art
same.
Bryles,
I was going to say it's not
Dave
the same,
Bliss.
But it's Art Briles type stuff.
Yep. And the thing is that if you really, I mean, look, Briles even had an opportunity in the CFL, and the public outcry was so negative, so fast, and was just so appalling. They rescinded the offer. I don't think you want to tarnish your program, especially if you have a good, clean program and you want to you think about bringing a guy like this in. I think it's just going to backfire in your face, so I don't think they do it. I do think he'll get a shot at broadcasting because inevitably when guys can't find jobs, broadcasting outlets seem to find a way to bring them in to capitalize on their quote-unquote expertise. I don't think this was like the same stuff as at Baylor, so I don't
think it's not.
So it's not like he'll never get another job in the limelight
again.
It's
bad, though.
But it is bad, correct.
It's bad. When the FBI is involved, it's bad.
And when you go to things like it, just so you remember previously to this, when he thought he was one of the untouchables or acted like it, he had the sex with the lady on the table of the Italian restaurant and got caught.
Well, I mean, who hasn't, though?
Okay. He had the stripper scandal where...
I mean, who hasn't?
They're bringing the strippers in for the players and recruits at Louisville. Yep. You know, and now this. So.
Not a good look.
Not a good look at all.
I don't know if I'm ESPN if I want that guy behind a microphone for my company.
But FS1 is sitting there, too. There's lots either of
one
outlets.
Either one of them. At this point, Rick Pitino, I don't touch that guy. I don't want him around.
He probably has a year off or so, and then someone takes a shot at all him, right. But we'll see. Okay, plenty more show to get to, by the way.
Yeah, don't forget, at some point today, maybe 2 o'clock, maybe, we'll do another rendition of the Sleep Talk app and the sounds of people sleeping.
Well, we have more then.
Yeah.
We'll and by that. The way, Friday,
Nick,
people
does that work
in the
for
409,
you?
Nick, are yep. you ready for this?
I am ready for the
409. The people of the 409 have clamored for it. Ask and you shall receive. Nick on the road to Beaumont. Nick
can't
and
wait.
I
cannot
will be
wait.
At we are going to be on the road at Luke's Ice House, 2325 Calder. Friday for the entire show. I'm bringing Nick because Barry is out getting warm hugs at Hyenas in Dallas. So therefore, Nick and I on the road again, heading out to the good people of Beaumont. Can't wait to see you all on Friday, but plenty more show here as well as a Barry Gibb classic with the Bee Gees. Continues Barry's first hour of Way Back Wednesday using title artist or producer with our names in it. We continue to roll on. We'll be back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to...
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Yeah, it's true. Sometimes the text line will get our dirndls and lederhosen in a bundle, but other times, and most times, the rest of you are good participatory suspects on the show. And for that, we say thank you. We appreciate you. Verlander got out of the first inning, by the way, so he's still...
Oh, good.
...throwing the shutout.
I was worried. I don't know why I did that.
I don't either.
2 o'clock, we're going to do more sleep talk...
...recordings.
...audio from the app. We have 6 of them, and these are great. These are really funny. So we'll get to that. A couple of texts to get to. I like this one. Worst Heisman QB in the NFL all time... The texter says their answer is Houston's Andre Ware.
I would say Danny Werfel.
Danny Werfel was the worst?
Danny Werfel of Clarence's Saints was awful in the pros.
He was. I don't know. See, so you say Andre Ware. I don't know that he was the worst.
I don't think he was.
You know what I mean? I think what he meant is maybe biggest disappointment versus expectation.
What about what's a kid from Oklahoma, White?
Yeah.
He was.
I'm still going to go Johnny Manziel. When you look at
that's a good
the
point.
Expectation versus what this dude did, which was nothing. I mean, Andre Ware at least played a little bit.
Well, and he was a high first round pick. He was at a really bad Detroit team, which was no fault of his.
No.
So that made it harder to try and succeed.
But Werfel's a good one.
Yeah, Danny Werfel's my guess, my choice, just simply because he was a high pick and high expectations, and he crapped a bit. By the way, John Shambi, again, John Shambi's doing the Astros game today for ESPN. He should just change his last name to Candy.
Why?
He's as big as John Candy, and he looks just like him doing the game, only with red hair.
Why are you being mean?
I just didn't realize he was that.
Is this game on ESPN?
Yeah.
Huh? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you sure are mean. You sure are judgmental.
Not mean. I saw you're very the other judgmental. Day. Look, I got clean up. Someone actually, because of your being mean to me about the picture, tweeted me and said that they had a kickball game tonight and that they wanted me to kick cleanup.
Did they?
Yeah. So I'm in.
Are you really going to play?
Heck yeah.
I like it.
I'm good in the alleys and I can go yard when I need to.
You're really there, though, just for the food, right?
No, I just picture your ass being the ball and I kick as hard as I can and I get a lot of good effort out of it.
Okay, I dig it. Okay, where to go? Earlier in the year, I asked who on this team would you vote as MVP, and the two standouts were Springer and Correa. Now it's without a doubt Altuve. Yeah, I think that kind of goes without saying when you've done what that kid has done.
Well, and from I don't think anybody would have argued Correa or Marwin Gonzalez, unsung hero of the team, right? But Correa, until he got hurt, was putting up just ridiculous numbers, but he was out so long because of the surgery needed on that injury that he was never going to be able to kind of, you know, reinvent himself in the last month of the season to try and catch up. Only Mike Trout comes close to doing that. But at this, you know, Altuve, again, with another 200-hit season and all the things he's done, it's hard to argue with that.
But isn't it funny, though, that as Correa has gone, he's really started to come on his bat? The Astros seem to have picked it up at the same time. So we talk about George Springer being the catalyst. We talk about Jose Altuve being the MVP. We talk about Marwin Gonzalez being the unsung hero. Mm-hmm. But it was getting Correa back and his bat now starting to heat up where you really look at the Astros and say, this team is hot now. I mean, this team is officially hot. And a lot of that has to do with Correa. So, I mean, this is a great thing, though, when you can't pinpoint – well, you know, the Angels get Mike Trout back, and you realize why the Angels might be playing better. It's because they got Mike Trout back. You know what I mean? The Nationals get Bryce Harper back. Their offense might look better because they got Bryce Harper back. In this lineup, you've got Springer back, you've got Altuve, you've got Correa back, and you can't really pinpoint necessarily or put it on someone. But for me, it looks like Correa taking off really helped this team solidify its streak down the stretch.
Yeah, look, I mean, here's the other thing, and they were talking about it last night on the broadcast. They said, you know, from where this team has come from with all the 100 lost seasons, and then you look at the guys they put on the roster, and you said, look, there was a lot of potential there. But now you look at the guys under 25, and you pretty much, if you believe what everybody in the national media is saying, Altuve is going to be your MVP this year. And aside from Mike Trout, the guy that they put on the top of everybody's list as a guy that could win it next year is Correa. So you've got, you know, Sports Illustrated wasn't far off in saying that they're your 2017 World Series champs when they predicted it a couple years ago. But for the foreseeable future of the next 3 to 5 years, until you really start facing some tough salary decisions, this team is really loaded and really prepped for a good, solid run.
And you know what did it, though? I mean, if you think about what this team could have done healthy, but then I almost want to say it was a blessing in disguise. Because it forced them to go out and make a move for somebody like Verlander. And I think the players forced that a little bit. You know, Keuchel expressing his disappointment and Reddick doing the same. And I'm sure there were discussions behind the scenes that weren't made public from other players, you know, expressing the same thing. But I think that having some of the struggles that they had with starting pitching also forced them to be more proactive and getting a deal done. And that only made them that much better over the next couple of years because now you look at your rotation, you've got some tough decisions to make, similar to the decisions you have to make in the playoffs. You've got some battles next year for your 4 and 5 spot for guys that have pitched like 2s and 3s in some
Mike
cases.
Fiers
like Peacock,
is be at least
you
in,
shut
the,
up.
In the heat of it for 3, 4, or 5. But you're right.
But Brad Peacock could be a 4 on this team.
Absolutely.
He honestly could be a 4 on this team because you're going to go obviously Verlander, Keuchel, McCullers. Brad Peacock could be your 4. He's pitched like a 2 all year. Mm-hmm. Some would say he would be
an ace on a lot of teams.
Yeah, on a bad team for sure. So. If Brad Peacock is your 4, then you're talking about, okay, well, who's going to be your 5? McHugh or Morton?
Is Morton got another year here?
That's a good problem to have.
I'd have
to look up his contract.
I thought Morton signed a 1 year, but regardless, if he wants to stay, you know what? They have to think long and hard about bringing him back simply because he was so effective and he's such a good fit here. And his arm, he didn't have problems health-wise, and his arm was lively with a faster fastball than he's had in years. But you're right. It's a good problem.
He's
to
on
have.
The books for 2018. He doesn't become an unrestricted free agent until 2019. So they great. Do have him.
So they got money. Him coming back.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, the one blessing in disguise was when everybody wanted Chris Sale but was okay giving up Bregman to do it, you kept Bregman too because he's another one of those under 25ers that showed that he might be not be a long ball hitter. But look, what middle infielder, or at least coming out of college middle infielder is? But with the amount of doubles, extra base hits, his average is up. He plays a better than average defense at third base. And he's, again, under the age of 25. Your core group was Springer and him and Correa and Altuve and those guys. Man, it is going to be fun to watch and be an Astros fan for the next several years.
So McHugh has 2 years of arbitration left as well. So, yeah, these are...
And do you think that he get that's a bonus for the Astros because he had the injury plague season this year and he didn't put up big numbers?
It could be. I mean, that could play into it, but you could also see them making a move and, you know, this gives them the opportunity to maybe go out and add somebody else. Because your infield is set. Gurriel's not going anywhere, Bregman, so your infield is set. So you could look at maybe do you find a left fielder to replace Maben, and you could go out and maybe move Morton or move McHugh. McHugh, you probably get, like you said, bad year injuries, you get a bargain. But now you could maybe trade Charlie Morton and pick up a left fielder that's better than Maben or anybody else they have, and this just makes the team that much better.
And here's the thing. Because of the fact that you still have a Derek Fisher coming up, too, that makes Maben expendable. But the fact that you have all these starting pitchers that we were just talking about, does that make it even easier for you to give up a Martez and say, look, you're not going to be in the rotation for the next couple of years, so if there's a team that wants you and wants you badly or will give us something of quality for you, we're going to put you in a spot where you're going to play and pitch and start, but we're going to get something back for you. And we feel more comfortable doing that than maybe we did at the start of the year when we didn't know what our rotation was going to look like.
Very well could.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. But a good spot to be in if you're an Astros fan for the next several years. And it's always good when you can send the Rangers home for the rest of the season after last night. And like I said, they're winning already early today, although Verlander has given up a home run. Right now, I want to tell you about the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. It's a fantastic program here in the Houston area, and it's all because of donations from good people in Houston like yourselves. If you're looking around the house and you know that in the driveway or the garage or out in the field and back or a car that was damaged in Harvey that just doesn't work anymore needs to get out of your life and out of your property, well, this is what you got to do. 713-225-4226. Call Houston Cans Cars for Kids program or just get on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Let them know what you got. Let them know where you live. They come to you with a tow truck. They take it away. Working or not doesn't matter because they're going to use it for parts and they're going to use it for donations. And what they're going to do in return is give you a tax donation and they're a tax deduction, sorry, and they're also going to give you a $50 gift card just for mentioning ESPN 97.5. But that's where the process really begins. You donate the vehicle you don't want, they turn it into resources for kids trying to get an education. It could be book money, it could be bus fare, eyeglasses, warm meals. All things that can be distractions if they don't have them. All things that can be a really big help when they're trying to get their education if they do have them. And those things are provided to kids because of your donations. It's a great program, and it's all about Houstonians helping Houstonians. 713-225-4226, HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
From Dave Tepper, Carl Dukes, Julie Takahashi, Jerome Solomon, and Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman, and John Granato, we celebrate 10 years of sports on FM. Thank you, Houston. ESPN 97.5.
These guys are the best at it.